Good evening, everyone. I'm Linor Moudou. Welcome to Health Chat. Avian influenza, or H5N1 virus. It refers to the disease caused by infection with avian influenza type A viruses. It is also known as bird flu. These viruses occur naturally among wild aquatic birds worldwide and can infect domestic poultry and other bird and animal species. Avian flu viruses do not normally infect humans. However, sporadic human infections with avian flu viruses have occurred in the past. Cameroon has been battling with the bird flu outbreak recently, and we will discuss more with our guest today. Joining us via phone from Yaoundé, Cameroon, is Dr. Casimir Ndongo, veterinary doctor with the Agency for Development of Production and Animal Industries at the Cameroon Ministry of Livestock, Fisheries and Animal Industries. Dr. Ndongo, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you so much for joining us. We will talk about what is happening in Cameroon, Dr. Ndongo, and we are very, very happy to have you join us today for this discussion. Bird flu is a topic that many people perhaps do not understand still. So we'll talk about that. But before we do that, Dr. Ndongo, and we ask that you stick with us, we will listen to this report by VOA's reporter Rosen Skerbol. She takes a look at the H5N1 bird flu virus transmission from animal to humans. Take a listen.
It's rare for avian influenza to move from birds to humans. World Health Organization spokesman Richard Thompson says infection comes directly from contact with sick poultry or from feces from diseased birds mixed in the soil. WHO believes all those infected so far have been exposed to poultry they didn't know was infected.
Farmers or their families come along, and to prepare the animals for consumption, they defeather them. And in the act of pulling feathers off these dead birds, dust flies up. And we believe that inhaling this dust has led to most of the infections in humans of the virus.
Worldwide outbreaks of a single disease are rare but reoccurring events, having been recorded historically every 10 to 50 years. WHO's Richard Thompson says vigilance, not panic, is in order.
There were three pandemics in the last century. Most people alive today lived through two of them without really noticing them. This wasn't a major trauma to societies or economies or even to health systems. So pandemics can occur that have relatively minor effects.
Others, like the 1918 Spanish flu pandemic, killed 40 million people. No one can predict whether H5N1 will trigger such a pandemic, and if it does, how long it would last or how deadly it would be. For that to happen, experts say the virus must first mutate or change so that it could pass easily among humans. Thompson says one way that might happen is if a person with the common seasonal influenza virus were also infected with the H5N1 strain.
It's possible that the two viruses could mingle in one cell, and from that single cell out would emerge a hybrid virus, a virus that had the characteristic of human influenza moving easily from person to person, as well as the avian influenza characteristic being unrecognizable to the human immune system.
Thompson says H5N1, like other strains of influenza virus, is also highly unstable, and natural changes could give it the ability to move efficiently from one person to another. Thompson says a pandemic outbreak is identified by how the virus attacks people.
If, for example, we started to see clusters of human cases, not family members who may have had common environmental exposures, but rather casual contacts, say an ambulance driver who took a patient to the hospital or a nurse who'd been tending to a patient, that would be a signal for us that this is the kind of clustering of cases that might signal the beginning of a pandemic.
For now, though, the H5N1 virus has apparently not yet passed from person to person, so only those who come into contact with infected birds are at risk. Thompson says the first line of defense is close observation by those raising or living around poultry.
This is the kind of surveillance system that really allows us to first identify how far the disease is spreading, but then to rapidly move in and to cull birds that might have been exposed and to clean areas to reduce the possibility that humans can become infected, even from the droppings of these birds.
WHO is also calling on governments to increase surveillance for early detection and to develop emergency plans to help contain the spread of a highly pathogenic virus. I'm Roseanne Skirbel.
Dr. Ndongo, again, thank you for joining us today. So the bird flu, avian influenza, is really a disease that a lot of people still do not understand. Could you explain to us, perhaps briefly, what it is? How do we understand this disease?
Thank you very much for giving us opportunity to communicate with your listeners or your followers in the United States. Here in Cameroon, it's the second case in the history we have witnessing the outbreaks of avian influenza, of bird flu. The first case occurred in 2006, and some few local birds were affected in the Far North region in Cameroon. About one village was affected on stray birds. A lot of sensitization was carried out. Since the disease was successfully surrounded or controlled, people did not really believe that it was a serious disease, although as soon as they heard the news of the disease, they have killed all the birds all around the countries, and it caused a lot of losses in 2006. 10 years later, we are now in 2016, we have a first outbreak in the industry, in the poultry industry, in the southern region, at the central region of Cameroon. Here, people are now doubting on the existence of disease since the measures the government has taken were intended to control the disease as early as possible. The farm was put in surveillance, birds were killed, were culled, killed, denatured, and buried. Some few farmers were affected, but the whole region is now under surveillance. The poultry markets are closed. So since we are in a country where consumption of birds is a culture and where people cook the bird very well, the government has emphasized that consumption of birds is not a threat. So people are now trying to confuse or to put a bit of confusion between the danger brought by the consumption of birds in human health and the economic losses that may occur. It's a bit of confusion. The government is trying to communicate and to put emphasis in the actual communication, but still the economic loss of farmers is getting a bit of is gaining the all the streets. So it's really a challenge for the government to keep the people following up the measures. But for the meantime, people are following the measures, and the government is trying to organize or to discuss with the poultry associations how to reorganize the commercialization of poultry products in the country, in the affected areas. Okay. So we think the communication is very important, and we have to make people understand the danger of allowing people to be close to the virus. Mm-hmm. Reassortment of the virus, as it was explained, is not really well understood by the population, by the common population. Since people are living with local birds that used to witness a lot of losses without any human hazard. This time around, that is a serious diagnosis. Education is really a serious challenge for the government.
Mm-hmm. So you raised so many important points, Dr. Ndongo. And what I wanted to understand is, you said that there was an outbreak in 2006. 10 years later, another outbreak. Do we have an idea as to how this first outbreak came in the country in 2006 and how this new outbreak 10 years later occurred?
It is believed it was not actually scientifically demonstrated, but it's believed that The first outbreak must have been brought by migrating birds. The outbreak occurred in a rural area where there are very few communication or economic communication between that area with the external all the external boundaries. What might have occurred must have been an importation from migrating birds. This current outbreak is brought, it has been reported in the center of the capital in a very big commercial farm, the biggest commercial farm of the region. Mm. And the investigation has demonstrated that there is a serious breakage of biosecurity measures. And if the farm is located about 500 meters from a poultry market, that could be a source. That could be a source. The farm is commercializing a lot of poultry chicks right inside the farm. People may be coming from outside to inside to purchase chicks. It may be another source. Most of the poultry farmers carry out the importation of fertilized eggs. Although fertilized eggs are imported under veterinary control, but investigation has still been carried out. There are a lot of suspicion about the probable source, but we believe that laboratory analysis of all the screen of viruses that have been collected from the field will give us good indicators of the source of the current outbreak.
So there are people that are, over 400 people are under surveillance, if I understand correctly, right? Some people are under observation?
Actually, for the past 3 weeks, no new outbreak has been witnessed.
Okay.
The Cameroon government, with the support of World Health Organization and Pasteur Center, had organized the observation of people who were living in close contact with the affected farms. So those set of people includes veterinarians who came and acted on the affected farms,
okay,
workers, and all other managers of the farms. Most of these people were under surveillance for the past 3 weeks, and up to now, no human case has been reported.
Okay.
About 717 of people living close, who have been in close contact with animals, were observed. No single human case was reported.
So are they off surveillance or observation, or are they being still observed? How long will that observation last?
The observation lasts as long as the action of control of the disease control was undertaken in the affected areas. For the moment, all these people are no longer in surveillance. They are taking care of their normal activities,
okay,
and their records are still with the medical personnel. For the moment, we believe everything is okay.
Okay, so then you are very hopeful in terms of containing this particular outbreak.
For the moment, if the follow of measures is still as serious as it is now, for the moment, we believe the outbreak can really be controlled. No new case has been reported. The four regions out of 58 are under control. Moreover, 700 medium-scale farmers are being under control, and the results are satisfactory for the moment.
Hmm. Now, what about the supply of chicken? Are you banning people from eating poultry altogether, or some specific ones that are coming from some specific farms and market?
The measures have been very, very rigorously implemented. Affected farms, about 25 farms, all the affected animals were culled. They were sacrificed, burned, and buried. Poultry markets were all closed, and they are still closed. But in other regions, in about 54 regions, everything is allowed. Within the control regions, we can still putting emphasis on consumption. People are free to consume poultry products that are under veterinary control. We have very good veterinary services for meat inspection, and those farms have been followed up. And we are in negotiation with the poultry actors are being carried out in order to set together the mechanism through which the conversation of poultry product can still be relaunched in a safe way, coming from control farms. But in all the other 54 regions out of 58, we can ensure everything is moving right. Although communication between affected areas and unaffected areas are banned.
Okay.
That's the situation in Cameroon. Poultry product, consumption of poultry product has never been banned. It's the commercialization of poultry product. In order to control the movement of infected birds, commercialization is up to now banned in 4 of the 58 regions.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. That's very important to know that. And how do those farmers make up for the lost? We will talk more about that. That's the question that I'm going to throw out to you. We have to take a short break, Dr. Ndongo, for the news. And when we come back, we'll continue our discussion. So don't go away. It's now time for the news with Sanusi Diallo.
The Democratic Republic of Congo says it will begin a campaign next month to vaccinate 11.6 million people against yellow fever. The country's health minister said the campaign aimed to vaccinate everyone in the capital of Kinshasa except children under 9 months. It will also target population in the province of Kwango, Lualaba and Kasai. Last week, Congo's government announced an epidemic in Kinshasa and 2 other provinces after reporting 67 confirmed cases of yellow fever and more than 1,000 other suspected cases. An outbreak in neighboring Angola has led to the death of about 345 people. The International Energy Agency, IEA, says each year about 6.5 million deaths worldwide are linked to air pollution. The agency warns the number will grow unless the energy sector step up its effort to slash emissions. The IEA project that premature death from outdoor air pollution will rise to 4.5 million by 2014 from 3 million today, while premature death from household air pollution will drop to 3 million from 3.5 million. Outdoor air pollution comes mainly from power plants, factories and cars, while household pollution stems from dirty cooked stoves, primarily in developing countries. The anti-venom Favafrique soon will be completely unavailable because its manufacturer decided it was not profitable. Remaining stocks of drug expire at the end of June. The situation has prompted aid groups like Doctors Without Borders to sound the alarm over the imminent shortage of Favafrique, which treats bites from 10 types of snakes. There are other anti-venoms available in Africa, but MSF says none are as effective as Favafrique and few can treat multiple poisons. And the patient often cannot accurately identify the species of snake that attacked them. MSF estimate that 30,000 Africans die of snake bites each year. And that's the wrap-up of today's health news.
Next time on Straight Talk Africa, we'll discuss the 18-year-old prison sentence given to former Congolese Vice President Jean-Pierre Bemba by the International Criminal Court for rape and murder in the Central African Republic. Tune in to Straight Talk Africa next Wednesday at 18:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Welcome back. For those of you joining us late, tonight's topic on Health Chat, we are discussing bird flu or avian influenza, or the H5N1 virus. And our guest, our special guest, is Dr. Casimir Ndongo. He's a veterinary doctor with Cameroon Ministry of Livestock, Fisheries and Animal Industries. Dr. Ndongo, before we took the break, I was asking about how to make up for all the losses that the farmers are really encountering with the destructions of their livelihood?
It's a good question. You see, any country has its regulation. We have a law in Cameroon organizing or dictating the measures to be taken in order to control infectious diseases. It's a 006 law of 2001 that states that under such disaster, measures have to be taken, and the measures are dictated according to each disease. And the law previews that farmers can claim compensation, and there are some procedures to be taken. First of all, everything that is being destroyed is being destroyed under some precise regulation, and reports are written. At the end of everything, reports will be compiled and forwarded to decision makers. Such cases has happened in 2006. The government has supported farmers who has witnessed some losses, although they were not close to the affected areas. We believe the Cameroon government has always implemented, executed all the disposition of its regulation, and technicians are now oriented into, first of all, controlling disease. At the end of everything, assessment will be made, and decision will be taken. That is a fact, and that is what has always happened. Although farmers are eager to hear what can happen in the short term, but assessment is supposed to be carried to be taken before the decision are being made. That is the regulation. That's what the law states. And 2010 and 2012 or 2014, African swine fever cases were also reported, and farmers were also compensated. All the affected farmers were supported. We still believe that the law is going to be applied. Mm-hmm. But farmers have to comply with the implementation of the regulation, because the intention is to eradicate and to allow our product to be exported once again.
Mm. Okay. Now, there is the decision not to import poultry from outside. Can you talk a little more about this decision, which could be understandable? You know, I mean, if in terms of surveillance and prevention, there are measures that need to be taken. But can you tell us more about this decision with regards to not importing poultry from outside, despite the large losses in Cameroon?
I don't believe the importation are banned. Importation are not banned. There's no disposition banning exportation of poultry in Cameroon.
Okay.
All the fertilized eggs have been imported from abroad. Fertilized eggs are imported. Chicks are imported.
Okay.
Parent stock are always imported. We don't have grandparent farmers in Cameroon, and there are some stores who are specialized in commercializing some precise product with given norms, who import products that can be satisfactory for their consumers.
Mm-hmm.
But in Cameroon, the poultry sector is self-sufficient, and there's always a procedure to follow up in order to be authorized to import. But imports are not banned. But for the meantime, all the imports from infected countries are not allowed. It's an international regulation according to World Animal, to OIE,
yes.
International Organization of Epizootics, that has been applied. But poultry product can be imported in as far as people follow the regulation.
Now, what can you tell us in terms of lessons learned this time around with regards to the outbreak this year compared to 2006? What are the lessons learned here?
A good lesson we have learned is that the earlier we act, the better it is. The outbreak was reported four days after the farmers have witnessed it in the field. It was appropriately diagnosed, and the government has taken serious measures. And the second lesson we can learn is that poultry markets are the greatest propagation factors of the virus. Most of the virus that were spread from the affected farm to other farms were through poultry markets. The virus left one region to another region from traders who went to sell poultry products, who went to sell their birds in another region and took back the infected, their vehicle infected. So biosecurity measures have to be reinforced for us to be sure that the poultry sector is really safe. And we are also very, very convinced nowadays that all the farmers together bring together beside the government to be part of the fight are going to provide satisfactory results. The first outbreak we have recorded was in a local poultry population, but this outbreak of 2016 has been reported in commercial farms. There were higher risk of spread of disease, but there were very serious action taken in the control of movement of birds. And the restriction of movement of birds were shown very, very efficacious to control the outbreaks. That's a very good lesson we have learned.
Okay. Now, Dr. Ndongo, can you tell us, are there certain animal handling practices that you recommend or would highlight that are important in controlling such an outbreak?
The first thing is we are insisting that farmers should set some biosecurity measures in the entrance of the farms, both for those who have to get into the farms and those who have to get out of the farms. We are now insisting that poultry traders should, as much as possible, respect the regulation on disinfection, on using appropriate disinfectant. We are also insisting that farmers should control movement of birds from in and out of their farms, and we are appealing all the farmers to respect all the prescription on the restriction of the movement of birds from infected zone to non-infected zone. It's very, very important. Poultry market should be reorganized, and the Cameroon government has taken some new acts in order to reorganize poultry commercialization in Cameroon.
How so? Can you tell us a little bit about how they reorganized it?
First of all, the infected zone were really demarcated from the uninfected zone. Mm-hmm. As I told, we have four infected regions, and we have 54 uninfected regions. Around these four infected regions, we have region at risk where surveillance is being reinforced, and the movement of poultry product from one zone to another, especially from infected zone to uninfected zone, is banned. It's strictly banned.
Okay.
Respecting those restrictions will help us to recover our free avian influenza virus from Cameroon.
Okay, Dr. Ndongo, thank you so much for joining us today from Yaoundé.
Thank you very much for giving us opportunity to enlighten you about what is happening in Cameroon.
It was our pleasure. And that was our guest today, Dr. Kazimi Ndongo, veterinary doctor with the Agency for Development of Production and Animal Industries at the Cameroon Ministry of Livestock, Fisheries and Animal Industries. Well, I thank all of you for listening on Elfstadt, for joining us. And thanks to all our affiliate stations throughout Africa for caring Health Chat. For more on today's topic, log on to our website at voanews.com or facebook.com/healthchatvoa. I'm your host Lenore Mudu in Washington with producer Kwame Ofori and Sanusi Diallo with the news. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.